We're talking with Ann and Virgil Severns on April 5th, 2001. Others present will be Alan Bruce George and Nancy Kuhn. We are meeting at the George's house at 512 Herning Road. Wish there could turn it on. I always forget that.
All that.
Well, I had the record on.
So we haven't said anything yet, have we? Well, what you call him was living down here on Harold's land.
Oh, Fred?
Oh, Fred Anderson. Right.
Yeah, Anderson. Fred Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've asked people about him, and a few remembered. Some mixed him up with Betchert.
Oh.
Yeah, I suppose maybe.
Because they were both old single guys that lived down there in the little cabins.
Betchert had died long before we...
He died in 49.
49. Mm-hmm. I guess I never did know for sure when he died, but I know it was... That was probably even before Bilberg's homestead had down there.
Well, that's something I'd like to find out.
George Lyle, I think, has Bilberg's phone number.
Oh, well, I may be able to get a hold of George. I don't know whether he's still outside or...
I don't know.
Well, the last time I tried, I got an answering machine that sounded like they were still...
Well, you know, Bilberg's were up a year ago when they made that trip back from Bethel.
Oh, sure.
You remember when they did that? I guess it was 40 years ago. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the paper every night and the news was full of that, their progress, you know. And I think they said last year when they wrote it up in the paper, it was 40 years ago. So that would have been 60, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I talked with George because I wanted to look Rudy up.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know he was up here, or maybe he'd seen it in the paper too. I don't think he even knew he was up here. But anyway, he tried to get in touch with them, and they had just been here and gone,
yeah.
I think, before it got in the paper.
Well, I've been trying to get a hold of George, because we haven't talked to him yet either. And
of course, he's been here.
I'll find out about Rudy then, because I wouldn't mind calling him on the phone.
Is George Lyle?
Yeah. I've left messages with his kids, but they haven't gotten back to me, so I need to prod them.
Well, there's probably only a telephone on one end, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. It only goes one way. Yeah.
With the kids.
So when did you folks first come up?
56.
We came to Fairbanks in 56.
Okay.
You came in 57.
We came in 56 too, but
you
we were in town
well,
for 2 years,
okay.
Which was about...
You lived out in the college area.
Yeah. Right where Hotlicks is now.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, that corner lot there.
Well, then, did you come right out here?
No.
No, we lived, we pulled a 30-foot house trailer up and lived in Jerry's Trailer Court, which is where the borough building is now.
Oh, that's right, I forgot that.
And the old, was it the brewery? There was a brewery below us and
there
another above.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the brewery and what the mill, flour mill.
Oh, flour, that's right.
And I'm not sure it was even standing. I think maybe it had burned up. I think it burned. Yeah.
The brewery wasn't running at that time.
No.
No, it hadn't been for some years, I must say.
But that was on, one of them anyhow, was on to the west of us there a little bit.
So how'd you find this piece of property?
Well, I was teaching it later, and we had looked at property out by Busby's, 17 mile on Dyke Road that fall. In fact, we had gone to Kenai. This is the summer of 57. We'd gone to Kenai because we knew some people down there, and we just drove down there to see what Kenai looked like. And we stopped at Sterling for gas, and Ann went inside and I think maybe bought something to eat or something. And while she's in there, some people told her about a piece of land that was available on the road to Swanson?
The oil wells.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds right, yeah.
I think Swanson.
Mm-hmm, that sounds right.
And told her where it was. So we drove up there, and it was four quarters in four different sections.
Oh.
And we I took a soil sample and we looked it over a little bit, drove on into Kenai, come back to Anchorage and filed on it, and came back. And then, you know, we had a job here, and we never got back to the Kenai Peninsula for 10 years, I guess. But I got my filing fee back on that because they had not mentioned that I wouldn't get the mineral rights. And so they wrote me a letter and wanted me to sign off on that, and I never responded to it. So finally they sent me my $16 filing fee back. And so then we looked at fall of 57 at a place that had a little greenhouse out. It's on Dyke Road or off Dyke Road there someplace. And so I guess the teachers knew I was interested in trying to get a piece of land. So Don Perkins had Kathy Bilberg in a government class. And Kathy says, "We're moving." Announced this in class or told him one day or something. So Don told me about it, and so I went to his class the next day and found out who Kathy was, and then we came out on a Saturday and looked at it, and then we got money from her folks and went to the bank and got the other half of the money.
Sounds very familiar.
And it cost $5,000. I mean, it was big cash in those days.
Yeah.
And so we bought it November 57.
Okay, and so that was the 77 plus acres. What did Rudy keep some?
Well, yeah, you see, he had filed on this other 80 that were used. No,
below,
you live on Harold's land.
Yeah, below Harold.
South of the section line there. He had filed on that later and then cleared the land and thrown some oats out there.
Yeah.
And he didn't have patent to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
He just had the patent to the 77 and a half.
So he had two different filings. That's what I never understood.
But they were connected, so it applied all right. But he had gotten that later. Mm-hmm. And then they moved out here the fall of 67 after. They had this little log cabin sitting down here on the corner, you know, for quite a while that summer.
Yeah.
That house that's just barely across the street from the turquoise house?
No, it burned up.
That's the one they moved down here?
Mm-hmm.
The Wanigan?
Yeah, that's what it was. It's just a log Wanigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 69, January 69, Rudy and
Dorothy
took Bessie into work. And then they came back and they walked into the cabin and gas propane tank exploded.
Well, hadn't they been in the house a while before it exploded?
Yeah, they were coming back out.
The story we had is that they came out from town because it was a 50 below day.
Yeah, it was cold.
They came out from town to restock, to stock the stove.
Okay.
And while they were there, they made a bowl of soup.
Oh.
And Rudy started outside the Quonset, the Wanigan, to start the car. And the screen door or the inside door swung out and hit this 5 gallon
propane
and apparently it tapped it on the weld.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the fact of the 50 below weather. The thing split and he heard it and knew instantly what it was and gave a shove to the door and went tearing on out. In the meantime, the gas followed him and burned his fanny, and the gas sucked into the house where
Dorothy was,
and that ignited the gas and it blew, and one side of the Wanigan was about the size of that wall, window.
Oh,
and
window.
It blew that window out about 20 feet from the building and laid it down on the snow and didn't break one pane of glass.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
And then in back of the building was a 100-pound tank leaning against the building. And you remember when we could hear the, sounded almost like a siren? That was the end had blown off the tank, and it was jetting straight up in the air. But when Rudy got outside the thing, he turned around, and he could hear Ann yelling inside.
Dorothy.
And so he went back in and got her.
Yeah.
And there's a formula that first aiders use to give you a percentage factor on the areas of the body. And it's 18 and 18 and 9 and 9 and 9 and 9. And she had, according to my calculations, 93% of her body was burned. And so they drove up here, and in the process of doing that, Rudy couldn't hang on to the steering wheel because his hands were so badly burned the skin was sliding. So he had to stop and get in the back of his vehicle and get a pair of mittens so that he could hang on to the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And they came up here and drove in our driveway and beeped their horn. And their kids were home from school.
This was Christmas
and
holiday.
I was trying to figure out who's the smart ass beeping their horn in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out and he's just getting out of the car and he says, "We need help. Can you give us a hand?" And about that time, Ann speaks up.
Dorothy
speaks up. And I recognized her voice immediately because she had a very distinctive voice. But to look at her, she had a haircut that looked just about like you, which was singed, that tied up against her head. So we got her in the house and on the
couch,
and she started to bubble from her nose, indication of a bad burn in the throat and whatnot. And we called for the ambulance, and miracle of miracles, the ambulance came, because at that time the procedure was, if there's a call for an ambulance, a state trooper responds to see if it's really necessary. And unfortunately, the ambulance got lost getting out of town.
I saw it was bad.
45 minutes to get here.
It seemed like 18 hours.
You went out and met them, didn't you, at the road?
Well,
somebody did. Harold sure
got... Harold was going to come in the house and take her, and I thought she was going to die right there. And I decided it's not going to be anything Harold wants to remember the rest of his life, that his sister died in his car. So I argued and said, why don't you give him another 5 minutes and see if the ambulance gets here? Because they'll have oxygen and she could use some oxygen. And so he eased off, and about that time the ambulance showed up. And she was hauled into town, and she was later transferred to what's the clinic in Seattle?
Whichever.
And she lived for another 6 weeks in Seattle.
Amazingly long time, considering.
But,
just getting our hopes up that she was going to make it and die.
The way that window blew just amazed me.
Mm. I remember hearing that now, but I'd forgotten.
The other thing I asked them to do, because we'd just been working with some on campus, was I asked them to pay a special attention to her body areas, because when have you ever seen a burn this bad that was exposed to 50
cold.
Below weather?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And does that 50 below weather make any difference?
Mm-hmm.
And the medics that I talked to thought I was some kind of a dingy.
They didn't know there was 50 below weather, huh?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember another fire down in the subdivision? I think it must have been around 70. The first new house that was built down there?
I never did get down to that place or anything, but I remember the fire.
I couldn't remember where it was. I couldn't remember the... I couldn't picture any place down there that looked like the right lay of the land.
That's the way of me. I don't know where that would have been.
Well, Ann Miles says that was down where Guy is now. He's kind of down below the road, and then there's kind of levels out a little bit down there.
He was welding in his garage, wasn't he?
Oh, I thought he was working on a snow machine, as I remember. But anyway, he had some open flame of some kind. But that was another sad...
But his garage was lined with...
Sheetrock.
Sheetrock.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought it for an hour.
Yep.
He was by himself. Used something like 10 fire extinguishers on it. Still lost the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that was really sad was that was at a time when Fort Wainwright would respond to off-post emergencies. Whoever called the thing in gave them Chena Ridge Hot Springs.
Yeah, they got lost.
And when they finally figured out that they were on the wrong part of town, the equipment had gotten so cold that they demanded, their procedure was they had to go back to the garage, to the barn, to the
stable,
wherever, and no, they would not respond again and come on out here. And so
they lost the whole thing.
You're saying he. Who is this?
Beatrice thinks their name was Goodwin, and I haven't called her back. She was going to look at her records and be sure. I didn't remember. They were a young couple with a couple of kids, and Ann talked about what a... I was in the house once, and it was a well-built house at a time when there weren't many well-built houses around, you know, all from scratch, all new material, and it was a nice place, and they were so discouraged they just left the country, as far as I know.
Do you think that's interesting that it's Goodwin and, you know, the people just above her,
yeah,
and Carol, above Guy there, for a while that was Scott Goodkin.
Goodkin. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought
you know,
about that.
So I think that could be a confusing there, is to think, you know.
They didn't overlap. I don't think there was anyone else in the subdivision at that time. Not that I remember.
I didn't know anyway.
So anyway, were you folks out here all of the summer of 58, or pretty much so? Because you were here just months before we came out, I think.
It was 58. I went outside
in April.
In April.
Came back in May, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe June. Maybe June.
Probably June.
Oh, and did Bilberg build your first house, log house? Don and me later, they must have.
Yeah, they built the frame part and then added on the log portion, I suppose, fairly shortly thereafter. But I think they just, when they first moved out there, just had the frame part. Now, I may be wrong on that, I don't know.
I'm not trying to get a hold of them and ask some questions.
Yeah, it'd be really good if
you
can.
Yeah, they...
Actually, we are signed up with ACS. We get long distance phone calls to the lower 48, $20 a month. Are you on that?
Mm-hmm. We don't use enough that I've even worried about it.
Well, if you'd like to come down and talk and talk and talk, that's a good place to do it.
Yep. Don't cost us a thing.
I tell you, I don't think we used that much, we called that much before we signed up for this, but I'll tell you, I'd hate to pay the phone bill at any other rate now. That has been really neat for us.
She's got all her siblings planning to come up this summer, and she's been on the phone lining that up, talking to every one of them.
About four times for as much as a half an hour and more at a time.
Where do they live? Are they Kansans too?
Well, a couple Kansas, of them are still in Kansas.
California.
Oh.
Yeah,
New Mexico.
Ohio.
So they're pretty well scattered.
Gonna have a family reunion, basically?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's
And this is the first time for some of them to come up here or not?
Yeah, one couple is all in.
And
Chuck's wife has never been up here. Leonard and Lois and June have never been up here. Everybody else has been up here at least once.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll look different from whatever they were here.
Yeah, Alberts and their folks came by and wandered through the woods of that 15-foot house turning out behind them. Stuck with it, I think. No, they drove all the way in with it.
They managed to get
the unhook.
They got it in there. And they got up against a tree, and Alfred said they were following the ladder that we'd sent how to get here. And I had said, unhook and leave the trailer. And they got up against the tree, and Alfred said, weren't we supposed to trail it someplace? Oh, yeah, back there.
Oh, that
I
was
had a, put it at the end.
That was a famous road.
Oh.
When you came out here, obviously Nordale wasn't there, and right. Chena Hot Springs was a trail from Steel Creek.
Oh,
no,
it was
a gravel road.
Hot Springs was in by then.
Had the whole Hot Springs out.
Yeah.
So you came in on Township Line, which is now.
No.
Huh?
No, we came in at the top of the very top of the hill.
Okay.
And then Walt moved it on over on the west side where they go in now. And then finally I got to use the township road.
So you're coming in on the west side of the you're coming in
right on the top of the hill. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is there any part of that road left on the top of the hill?
I don't know.
I expect there's a trail through there.
Yeah, there must be, but it's all private property up there, so I haven't been up there. It'd be fun to go look.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so then you came in and through the top of the hill. How'd you get over to your property?
We came down here.
We went a half mile to the end of Al and Ruth's property. And
almost. For the first 2 40s, we go another 40 on down.
Oh, you go
the road.
Another 40
past.
Okay.
So
well, that's how you connect with the Hot Springs, Nordale out there.
No, almost. We don't quite, but close.
Yeah. They did put at least a access to your property.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we just wandered through the woods. And there was a wet spot here just down 100 yards from the corner here that you couldn't get through most of the summer. And then there was another, and just after you get to the end of the half mile, a bad wet spot there.
Mm-hmm. Trains across there,
So it was passable in the wintertime, but summer's rough.
You were the only ones down there, right?
Yeah.
And so
there were five of us. Eberhards, Lyles, Georges,
Hernings.
And Hernings. Mm-hmm. And Harold.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Stubbins were still here when we...
They would have been, because we
Well, you moved out spring of 58, didn't you?
No, the fall of 58.
Well, fall of 58.
We brought things out and stowed them in the garage all summer, waiting for them to move out.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't. It took us 5 years, of course, to get all that stuff out of the garage, at least.
Yeah.
Hey, we only have 2 more years to get the stuff out of the garage.
Is that how long it takes? I think we multiply that now by 5 or something.
Multiply it by the number of kids you have.
That's right, too. Well, then anyhow, and then we came in at the west end of our garden, came down the hill at the west end of our garden.
And was that garden established before you got there, or did you put it
in? Well, the clearing was there, yeah. And they had garden there.
Well, not anyways near that biggest spot.
Well,
it was about a fourth of it.
They
was just a vegetable garden at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you made a pretty sizable chunk of land there that's cleared for the south slope on that.
Well, it was all cleared, and then we let it grow back, and then we had to re-clear it.
Anne mentioned in relation, I think, to that, to your old house, that when the Goldbergs were there, they had found some artifacts, not native artifacts necessarily, but something that made them think somebody had lived there. And Oh, log cutter's cabin or woodcutter's cabin or something. Did you ever hear anything about that?
No.
Something to do with a loom, a shuttle or something? And she's still got it. I guess I need to go.
Well, Bessie she had a fur sewing machine.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
They had lived out at Lake Minchumina for a while, and I don't know how long.
When they moved out here, they went outside.
Yeah.
And they weren't very long. They were going out for good.
Have you got Rudy's book?
We do have
Shadow of Eagles.
And I think I've read it, but I could go back and read it again.
Of course, he mentions the homestead. I think once in there. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Not a big part of his interest, I'm sure.
And he doesn't mention Minchumina in there either.
Hmm.
And I think he had a trading post at Minchumina. They had a whole bunch of little vials, little bottles. And they had those to put scent in for trappers.
Right.
I think. And there were, I don't know, dozens of them at least. I don't know what I think I used them for something for a while. A few of them, most of them got thrown away.
I think you used them to put grains in for the fair, for an extension.
I don't know.
A display.
Yeah.
Display deal.
Anyway.
I understand that Mr. Betchert worked with the farm on things he was growing down there, that they were very interested in what he was doing out there, and I'm wondering if you knew whether there was any records of him. I keep intending to call somebody out there, and I haven't done it yet.
I don't know. I see where Don Dinkle's mother apparently just died.
Yeah, I believe we read
I'm sure
that
was
that.
His mother.
Yeah.
Boy, there's nobody out there who would know anything about it.
Well, unless there's a written
record of
some kind.
Just have to search through the files to find
yeah.
it. No, I knew that there was interest in what he grew and stuff, but I did not know that he worked at the farm. Busby's. Somehow Busby's and he were connected, and I don't know how. Bob Busby, I think, is still alive in Palmer, and he has I was looking up Josh the other day, and there's a telephone number listed for Bob Busby, but it's a 352. Wouldn't that be Eielson?
Something like that, but I don't know.
I think it's three. Was it just yesterday I was looking up Josh?
Mm-hmm.
And,
or the day before, possibly.
But anyhow, I noticed Bob Busby or Robert Busby or something. Maybe he has a son by the name of Bob. I don't know.
That's possible, too, yeah.
And I don't know whether it was Elt or Bob more or less had a relationship with Frank Betchert.
Hmm.
And I do know that they knew of him.
I'm going to write down some names here.
Had some connection.
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know whether any else kids probably wouldn't remember.
Well, when he died in 49, there were three different mentions of him, three different days, I think, in the News Miner.
Oh.
And we've got to go look those up because he had to be something more than just an old timer that died. I would guess there's maybe some mention there of this horticultural work he did.
Could be.
So there's not a job for you, Nancy. I keep giving Nancy these map things. And
which you don't happen to have any old maps of this area, do you? Commercially created maps?
I think there's a military map, and I don't know what's happened to it.
It's out in your garage.
Probably out in Kent Cheryl's garage.
Yeah, probably stored down in Kent Cheryl's garage.
Their garage. We put stuff in their garage when we went to Nome.
It's still
adding to it. I'm striving to my grandchildren.
Yeah. Well, we have the 1953 map. You would see it. And we're over here. This covers the whole school district at the time. Here's Don
District tax map that they used to collect taxes for school.
Here's Betcher. Here's now at this time. Rudy hadn't acquired this over here? Is that
the
reason
not.
Was that?
No.
Well,
no, this would be his 80 here, and this is the 77 and a half.
Oh, okay.
Here.
But I don't think he
name.
Had patent to it yet when we
there
bought it.
There for Bob's treatment.
Right.
Well, and you notice they're showing the road going right straight out, when in fact...
Right on up the hill.
Yeah, in fact, it came down, well, not quite where the sled trail is, but something close
no.
to that.
No, I don't know. Does it show? Yeah, there, Charlie Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Bob McQuinn.
Have you...
Okay,
is Betty Day still in town?
Yes,
yeah,
and we
around.
Talked to her just a few days ago. Her memory is slipping. She was having trouble remembering when they moved out here. She said,
oh,
when Joanne went to kindergarten, but she couldn't remember when that was. So I talked to Joanne last night and found out. They didn't move out here until about 62, I think.
Days didn't? They weren't
well, not in that house. It's a little confusing because they apparently they bought the home place where the house is.
Oh, okay.
Above the road, but they homesteaded down below the road.
Oh, really?
Do you remember a Quonset hut down there that they lived in?
No,
I
don't. But
I can't say that I do. But apparently they lived in the Quonset hut.
We very seldom went on out the Chena Hot Springs
no,
Road.
No, you always went to town.
And, you know, now we come out on Nordale, you
to get
can
home.
See over there.
Oh,
I don't want you to get home.
Right.
Right.
I'm going out the road.
This is before Lee was out here.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he came
well,
out 54, actually,
54?
The next year. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, Al, you remember either teaching
well, that,
a class or at least talking to the Homemakers Club about first aid? I think maybe you taught several sessions.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Copper Creek, yeah. Well, this road must have...
Yeah.
Must
and
have
you,
come
you
just about to this
to
section line corner.
I think this is where donkeys are, from what Walt was saying. His brother was over there.
And then you had a
yeah, that
and
would
he
be
bought
easy.
From Bonet.
And you said, what
Bonet
would you
had married
do if
Tilly's
you
daughter.
Out and saw your
oh.
neighbor falling
yeah,
in
yeah, it must
have
come to about
said,
here then, didn't it?
It
curves right around in there
somewhere. It, just before
you,
it curved here, or almost turned,
we were,
I think, you hit it off up here to Charlie Moore's.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to see a neighbor. Now, look at how many neighbors we can see.
Yeah, this is
yeah.
an interesting old map. It's just
sure
all
is.
Sorts
yeah.
of good stuff on it.
Oh, boy.
Gertrude Ward is... still alive and
oh is she
yeah
well
at least and then Ann Burkholz was at the Pioneer Museum one day and one of the Ward boys which we figured must have been Clarence came in there and so she yeah this was summertime so she asked us about it. And we knew who Gertrude was down in Denver.
Need some new batteries.
And Charlie was in Burt City, Kansas. Charlie's gone.
Hey, Charlie's dead.
No.
Here we go.
No, you know what we're going. Be hard.
It's all around the hill, well, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. It's right on that curve, and then the road straightens out again and goes on out to 10 Mile.
There was a teacher that I think he built the log cabin, maybe. And it was along in, is on the north side of the road, but along in about there somewhere.
Well, there.
And he started, I think he bought, what was the bookstore people's name? Adler's.
Adler? Mm-hmm.
I think he bought Adler's bookstore and quit teaching, and then I don't know whatever happened to him.
Well, there used to be, Beatrice was mentioning this, and I couldn't remember, a log cabin right up above the road, and I guess it's still there. Carl Gamble says there are two log cabins.
Yeah.
But it's all grown up now, so you can't see it from
okay.
the road.
That
just before you got to the house that I think was Ackerman's, or Johnny Coles. Johnny Coles, who I'm trying to think
oh,
of. That's,
uh-huh.
that's who lived there when we went up.
Okay, that log cabin you're talking about is one that when Jim Smith was with, the editor with Extension, they made a gardening movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some of the footage of that gardening movie as that cabin. And then some of the garden is in our lower field. Some of it's over on Badger Road.
Is this film still extant?
There was a copy of Nome when I left.
How would you find it?
Go to, I don't know, I guess I'd check with Extension is all I know. I imagine the Fairbanks.
About when you suppose it was?
Well, the movie was made in the late 70s, because it was shortly before, mid to late 70s, before we went to Nome.
Jane Williams.
Yeah, Jane might know.
Okay.
And
who was the gal that starred in that movie? What was her name?
Anita Harwood. Anita whatever. She's Georgiana Harwood, Lincoln's sister.
Oh, okay.
And she and her husband have split up. But what was his name? What was her name? Anita what?
I had Georgiana and Anita as freshmen on my first year up here, both.
Sister. Okay. What fun. And of course, these movies, you know, nobody wants to see a movie from the 70s anymore. Color would be wrong and it wouldn't be near as exciting.
Oh, but wouldn't it be fun
See something familiar?
That has to be, surely, it'd be a copy of it around someplace.
I betcha.
What's the extension agent's name now?
Michelle Bear. Yeah.
They probably have a copy in their office. Yeah.
Call up and ask her. That'd be fun.
Yeah, call and ask her.
Get a copy before they dump them because it's out of date.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe they've dumped it.
And they may have already.
I haven't died yet, though, so they dare not hear what it is.
Another person that he had in school was Gwen Wilson.
Yeah.
Her parents had the Hot Springs.
Oh, yes, right. Well, you know, he's, at least I assume, it's the same Wilson that's on the map over here on the hill, Weller Hill, Carl Wilson.
Is that right?
Lee didn't think he had ever done anything with it, particularly, but he must have owned it at this time anyway.
I'll be there.
He talked about Louds going over and getting rock, gravel, and whatnot out of the hillside there.
Is that right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Louds. Do you remember going on out?
Have you talked to Louds? Son.
Dick, no, he's on the list.
Yeah.
We keep finding more people.
He would remember a lot of things, I suppose.
I'm sure he would.
He might not remember when they first came out here, but.
There was a gal named Betty that lived clear way on out, and one of my first homemaker meetings was
Betty
going
Press?
Out.
About 12 miles. Just this side of the Little Chino?
I think that was one of the first meetings I went to, was at her house.
Just the one that had the bear on the roof?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was a wonderful story about her. Yep, the Presses were out there in that big old log house, and yeah, they were quite active. She had a girl Katie's age in Katie's class. Your boys will probably remember. And there were some younger brothers.
Were Katie and Ron in the same class?
I think so.
Yeah. I thought so. Mm-hmm. Did she go to school at Maine?
Oh, yeah.
Second grade?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yes. They're down in the basement.
Do you
remember? The only school they didn't go to was Bid Alley, wasn't it?
Well, U Park. They never went to U Park,
I guess so.
Well, right shortly after we got Starla, we came home, and I was thinking it was from a school function, but you guys hadn't gone, I don't think, because our dog was out here, old King, and he wouldn't go home with us. And the boy, and we were walking through the woods because we couldn't get through with the car. And so the kids and I started on while Virgil came and got some rope to make King go home with him. and we're tracking down this road and come up over this rise and saw something go into the woods, and I figured it was a bear. I don't know whether it was. I couldn't see it well enough because it was twilight, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time we'd taken Starlight any place at night. So it was in April.
And what year was that?
We got her
61.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was born in 60, but we didn't get her till spring of 61.
You know how we got her? Ruth Scanlon was going to Ketchikan for either a bowling or a bonds field.
I think it was bowling.
I think it was bowling thing, you know, tournament or mm-hmm. something. And she brought her back.
Oh, boy, things have changed. That wouldn't happen. No way.
We got her through welfare. Mm-hmm. You remember Jan and Ray Pierce?
Oh, sure.
Well, when Jan and Ray told us that Robin was on her way, it was just before Christmas, and I was in town, so we stopped on 3rd Street behind the co-op, and I went racing in, and I got a little outfit for a baby, and came back out, left Virgil and the kids sitting in the car, and I came back out, and of course the kids wouldn't know what I had done, so I showed him, and, well, who's that for? And I said, well, Ray and Jan. They don't have any kids, why would they want that? The comment was that maybe if they had something to put on one, they'd get one. And sighs. They don't even know where to go to get one. His idea was you have to go to the welfare office to get a baby.
Oh, my.
You were talking about the township road here. I don't know when it was, but one spring I decided that I'd try the township road. That's where the road was supposed to be instead of the hill. I got probably 20 feet into it, and I was stuck. I walked over to Charlie Wood Awards, and he came over with his little, he had a John Deere 40 crawler, and he pushed me on through till I could go, and then I drove on through. That was the road conditions.
Yeah, we walked drove it a few times when it was frozen, and then we'd walk. Oh, and then there was a time that Harold was going to fix it, so he dumped a load of gravel down there. We didn't spread it, he just dumped. And Katie wanted to go to a dance or something at school. She wanted to go so bad that she went down there with a rake and she smoothed it out. So I got to drive through.
And you talking about the Chena Hot Springs being a trail. When the earthquake hit in 64, I was driving home from town, and that road was so rough, I didn't even realize there was an earthquake. And did you flag me down, or I just stopped here or something? And Bruce said something about feeling the earthquake, and I didn't know what she was talking about. So I and then later heard about what had happened.
Yeah, what a earthquake it was. Oh, that road was... The roads were a big subject of conversation. We talked to Maddie, and of course she came out, as did all the early Hernings, before the Hot Springs Road was even in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they used Steel Creek Road.
Yeah.
Got down to Steel Creek, I guess, and that was the end of the road.
Yeah, pretty much. Don talked about it taking him out, the road commission, whoever they were then, a year to get from the top of the hill down to Steel Creek, and then another year to get from Steel Creek over to Five Mile Hill. So it seemed awful slow.
Don, I was talking to Don. He says, I remembered some more stuff after I talked to them, so you ought to get a hold of him.
Well, I think maybe he's written it down, because Colleen was saying yesterday that he'd been adding some things, and I haven't seen yet. Well, Maddie, after she'd been up here, called that night and said, I forgot to finish that story. So she did.
How is her mind, is it? She's in pretty good shape. She apparently has trouble, some lapses of memory, as don't we all, but
well,
she said the other day she couldn't even remember her phone number, I think it was. So,
well,
time goes.
I have difficulty there too.
Yeah. I mean, when you ask the phone number, I have to stop and think and not tell them Kent and Cheryl's phone number because we had that one for so long.
But one thing about Maddie, she still has her wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, good.
You will love her story when you see it because you could, it comes through. Well, somebody asked her, well, did you encourage Carl to run this bus line? It's just, well, I wanted him to do something.
Every once in a while, there's something like this. I remember her being quoted or saying something about when she went back to teaching, well, somebody has to make some money.
Yeah, she hasn't lost her sense of humor.
That's great.
Oh, I just kind of twinkle when she gets on to some of these things. Well, is there anybody else on this map that we need to talk about? Who did you know that we... Did you know the Kivlins at all?
No, I didn't.
Just a name. Oh, I phoned that phone number you gave Al the other day, not knowing whose it was, about Bert Stemple's book.
Oh.
And, of course, it was Bert.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
And, of course, he doesn't remember me. We had no reason, really, to... have anything to do with raising potatoes or anything. But I could throw him a lot of familiar names and say, we must have talked for half an hour. He was just so glad to have somebody to talk
to. I tried calling him, and I didn't get him at home, and then I guess it slipped my mind.
Well, I'm sure he
did. But did he have any of the books left?
No, he didn't. I finally did get one, though, through a book finding thing on the web.
Oh, good.
Cost me a small mint, but it's worth it because there's a lot of history in it.
Yeah.
And I understand that Mrs. Zozula is back in town and living with a daughter up in back of there, or I don't know whether it's part of their old place, maybe.
Oh.
In that same area. Unfortunately, I don't know the daughter's name, or I would try and talk to her.
Yeah, well, I wonder if Henry might know.
Well, he just called me for the first time.
He's back.
Yeah. And he said they were busy now, but I asked him to call me when they weren't busy.
Did you know Marvin Bushy died?
We were wondering. Is that recently?
28th of March.
Oh, not recently.
And I called Henry to tell him, and he didn't know. It has not been in the paper.
No,
either,
I'm sure it hasn't.
Because everybody I've talked to has not seen it.
Huh,
and they have a memorial for him this Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Was he here locally in town? Marvin?
Yeah, he was.
He's been here all this time?
Yeah. Huh. He was living out, a year ago, he was still living out there on the old Steese at his place.
For sakes, I wish they'd given obituary in so we don't.
Well, I don't know why they haven't. But
I don't know.
Well, is his daughter still around? Because she's the only one of the family left, I guess.
Kent said... He thought they had two adopted kids, a boy and a girl.
Yeah, but the boy was killed in some crazy bar shootout over in Umaklid or someplace. Yeah, it was he wasn't involved in it at all. He was an innocent bystander, according to the paper, but this was many years ago now.
Well, Kent indicated he felt that the kids weren't real bright. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, were they Jane and Marvin's kids?
They were both adopted, as far as I know. Yeah, they.
But he has remarried, apparently.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, because they were talking about this at Pioneers the other night, and that's where we heard about it.
Oh.
Where do you get the mouse in the pocket? I didn't hear about it.
Well, you knew he had died from your
after you told me.
Oh, I thought you said that they talked about it over there. Okay.
Well,
me and my mouse heard about it.
Okay. Good as anything.
I'm always accused of her having a mouse nearby, I guess this is fair.
Well, Jane raised those kids because, we used to be on election board together, I saw a fair amount of them there for a while.
Well, when did Jane die?
Well, that's been quite a long time ago. Of course, she had that stroke or whatever it was that damaged her brain, and so she was not all there really for some years before she died. Because she was such a bright person, and
yep.
It was really a shock when that happened to her.
I tell you.
And, I think her mother's name was Poloff. I've been trying to remember what Ruby's last name was.
You better write that down.
Poloff. It was Pol something, and I think it was Poloff. Because if you notice on the map, this was Jane's mother.
Oh, Jane.
Here she's Ruby Rasmussen. And Jane Reno, you notice.
Oh.
But this is the property they ended up on, that Marvin ended up with.
Mm-hmm. Right there on that curve. Mm-hmm.
And I knew that Rasmussen wasn't the name I knew Ruby by.
Well, the fall of 57, I worked for Marvin for, a week maybe or something.
Oh,
and,
no,
because I'd worked for Extension until the 1st of August, and then they hired Bob Puckett, on a full-time basis, and so my job ran out. And we took a trip down to Kenai and came back, and then Jim Matthews knew I wasn't working, and he figured I needed to be, I guess, and I did. And he called me and told me, or saw me and told me, that Marvin was looking for some help. He was digging a ditch for a water ditch out to the barn.
He still had the dairy going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was piping water out there. So I went out and dug a ditch for him I think I was out there about a week. But it was just before school started.
You came up as a teacher, though. You had a job here as a laser?
Mm. Yeah.
All right. What were you teaching?
General science and biology. And, you know, I was hired sight unseen. Imagine that today.
That happens a lot.
They go outside and look them over 12 times out there before they hire them. But I forget what I was going to say about Jean. About bushes. Now, something in connection with working there, but I guess it must not have been very important.
So when did you go to work for the Extension Service full time?
61. I worked the summer of 57 and 58. And in 58 I worked for... Well, Bob Puckett was a teacher in Bethel. And he had applied for the job, and I had too. And they gave it to me. And then for some reason he decided not to teach or something. They hired him the 1st of August full time. And then by February, he was in Honduras. He quit the job. So I got the job again in 58.
Well, that wouldn't... I was going to say, wasn't that when Turner's retired? But
no,
they didn't retire until
61.
60.
Yeah, Mr. Turner was going to retire in June of 61.
He was what, the director or whatever?
No.
He was a remote agent.
Oh, okay.
What they called the remote agent. And they had some money for a helper for the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started the job in 56. and when we got to Fairbanks, we drove out to the university and drove up on campus and saw the Extension's office. So we walked in and met Mr. Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just remembered me. And so then in 61, when he was going to retire, he came by in February. I wanted to know if I was interested in the job, and I was. And so then I went out, and Art Buswell interviewed me, and then Mr. Turner died in April. And then so as soon as school was out, I started right after, in May of 61.
You know Jean Brand, don't you?
Well, sure. We hear from her every Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you do.
Well, we saw them when we were outside in February.
January.
And geez, they're both of them just really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living in a retirement center.
I figured from their address. that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she mentioned that Bill was having problems. She hasn't mentioned her problems so much.
Yeah, right. She,
she blames all this on Bill, but she needs to be in there as bad as he does.
Well, now, good heavens, how old are they?
They're 80, I guess.
Must be.
Probably in their early 80s.
Years older than us.
Have you talked with Lee yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although there's another one that you could get 18 more stories out of Lee.
Yeah. And he knew all these guys, John McCallina, but I guess they're probably all gone now. I don't know. Rockman's, of course, are both gone.
Yes, there's some stories about the Brocktons that, in fact, I'm going to call Leanne Day. She lives back in Arkansas now, but her mother says that she used to come up, she and Henry were great buddies, and she used to come up and Henry tell her stories.
No.
So I think it'd be worth a call to see what she remembers. Betty thought he came up over the Chilkoot Trail.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And somebody else mentioned that he'd been at Kennecott.
Well, you know, this old boy that lives in Henry's house, his parents, he was at Dawson.
Well, who is this? I've never known.
What's his
name?
Anderson,
isn't it?
No.
No.
Let's see. What is his name?
Well,
we got him to haul away our burn piles instead of trying to burn them anymore.
This is a single fellow?
Yeah. I can look back at a check, find in the checkbook what his name is.
Well, it'll be interesting to know. I've never had any idea who was in there.
I don't think he would know anything about the history of the Hot Springs Road, but he might know something about the Brocktons or something that would
could.
Where is Gary Brockman around?
Well, he was. I've thought of him. He was. I haven't looked in the phone book to see. Not too many years ago, I saw him someplace in town. And yeah, he would have some. He would have heard some things that he'd remember surely.
Have you talked with Jim Holm?
No.
He might.
Haven't talked to him
have
yet.
Some memories.
Yes, I'm sure he
and
would.
And maybe Stuart would even be worth a call. I don't know where Stuart's
Stuart.
At. That's his older brother.
Oh, I forgot. There was an older brother.
Yeah. Stuart was in high school when I was teaching. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Jim started before I quit, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I think Jim was in school too before I left.
So this is the Jim Holm with the potatoes?
With the greenhouse.
With the greenhouse, which is now the hometown nursery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he had the potato field out.
Well, his dad.
His dad, okay.
Well,
and quite a bit of cabbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lee
red
goes
potatoes.
On.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lee goes on about how many acres or whatever part of an acre of tomatoes he had one year and other things.
Now, one of the things I've found interesting is this is, you know, last year in the paper there was an article about a guy growing asparagus here in Alaska. And in just the conversation, somebody will throw out, oh, yeah, we used to grow asparagus, we used to grow celery. In fact, it was Julie Wood who said they grew celery commercially for the market. And I think it's kind of interesting how there was no big deal type thing, yet here we're thinking it's really something. And she said they got plants in out of Seattle.
No.
The celery plants and don't know anything about the asparagus. And then Betcher's.
Betcher's
having these different things that are growing out in this area.
Ann remembers cherries. So he had a cherry tree. And they weren't choke
Betcher
cherries.
Did.
Yeah. And also some Siberian wheat.
Oh, yes. Maddie supposedly has a jar of wheat left.
Mm-hmm. There was a fair display one year. Probably out in her Quonset hut. And I figure if there are any homemaker records left, that's probably where they would be, too. I have no idea whether there are any.
When did the club go?
That's That's a good question, but I think it's about the time our kids got into or out of high school. I think it was at least 4-H was pretty active while the girls were sewing for high school things. But I would guess it was about 1970 it was on its way out. I've got this in my diary, I'm sure, but I haven't gotten past 1969 yet.
I remember you writing stuff down and trying to get me to write stuff down. I don't write stuff down.
Well, I've got diaries for all these years.
The first fall we were up here, we drove around Farmer's Loop one evening, and we got, you know, where Paul Albert's root cellar was.
Mm-hmm. Still is, isn't it?
No, I think it's gone.
Is it gone?
But as long about in there, we saw this pickup drive up out of the field on the south side of the road. He'd come up, and I guess we stopped. I don't know why, but anyway, he stopped then, and he had a bunch of celery, and he was taking it to, I don't know, I think maybe Ray's supermarket, at least to one of the grocery
mm-hmm.
stores. He'd come out and pick some celery and was taking it into the grocery store to sell to them.
Well,
and Paps, you know, celery at the market all
right.
the time.
Well, Lee was going on about all the different people. Someone there at Hempel's. Did you know Hempel's there on Farmer's Loop?
No.
He grew green onions. Probably other things too, but.
Here at the Farmer's Loop.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Kramer's.
Gilbert. Hempel was back here, closer.
What year did you work at Kramer's?
Me?
Yeah.
59, when Jerry was
born. I don't see Hempel, but he was down in here.
No, we were working at this
Dornier, huh?
For in Holmes's when Jerome was born.
Mm. What's that?
You were working over here for the guy that...
Ray's Supermarket.
Yeah.
But I worked earlier in the year. I worked for
Kramer.
Kramer.
That same year.
Yeah.
Where was Ray's Supermarket?
In the Northward Building.
Northward Building.
In the basement?
North east corner of it.
Yep. There was a bakery in the basement, though, wasn't there? Wasn't there a bakery in the basement?
They supplied Ray's.
Well, they're Sherman.
They were connected some way. Maybe they were owned by the same people.
I don't see.
No, Hempel isn't on, or Hempel, it isn't Hempel, Temple isn't on there. There is now a road with that name on it. Just as you're going up the hill past, there was before the fire station.
So,
but anyway, right in there, apparently, he was growing green onions. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
and
the old road.
Max Douglas, the Douglases, when they were down there where the gas experiment thing is now,
where Gettinger
used to be,
live.
Had a radish harvesting machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that Lee talked about. It would dig them and bunch them, apparently.
Really?
And then
really?
They'd check them for wormy ones, and they always had some extra ones in there so they could nip off any bad ones.
Another thing, you go back to these old fair pictures, and they're pumpkins, and, well, maybe not pumpkins, but they're squash pictured in those. And now, then, when we got it here, you couldn't grow squash up here.
Well, we still can. Some people have better conditions than others.
Well, when we got up here, you couldn't even grow green beans, they were saying. Good grief.
Ann Lyle grew green beans.
And Dorothy.
You did.
Yeah. Yes, Dorothy.
But that, I remember.
I remember the first spring there below... Well, below Kent's shop, essentially, you could see the old bean rows where Rudy had some planted out there.
Yeah.
Bessie had, probably.
most likely. See, Bessie worked at Adler's, among other places, but Adler's is the place I read. The bookstore, right?
Did she?
That's what I remember.
Maybe. Well, she worked for...
Alaska. She worked for Alaska Airlines, too.
Could well be.
I think she was working for Alaska when Dorothy died.
Yeah. Well, Edwards were gone by then, I think.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Yeah. So,
And Walt worked for Northern Consolidated mm-hmm. and then went over to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. He is now wearing two hearing aids because he said they didn't wear any kind of ear protection mm-hmm. in those days. And when they, what was it, the prop jets that he said were even probably worse than the regular jets as far as the shrill noise.
Did you already have a well on your land when you got here?
No.
Where were you getting your water?
When did you get it? Oh, excuse me. One question at a time.
We hauled it in.
The sundry places here.
Hauled it in on the wheelbarrow. Well, we carried 1 5-gallon can of each hand night after night.
Well,
and then we had a 10-gallon barrel that Rudy had left there. And I used that a lot. It finally got a leak in it. And then when I finally got a wheelbarrow, and of course I used that a lot of the time.